Good morning, and it's a real blessing for me to be here with you to stand in the pulpit of Pastor Duncan. Pastor Duncan is a great man, whether you know it or not. And when we moved here last year, one of the first objectives that I had was to plug in with the pastors as they meet. And the Ministerial Association is made up of 30 pastors and para-organizations in the Los Osos, Morro Bay, Cayucas area. And I got to thinking, with 30 pastors, and I remember reading in the Bible about David had 30 men, and there were three that were really special. And of the three in this association, your pastor is one of those top three that has really endeared himself with me and become a real friend. And he's just a great leader, and I do appreciate supplying it both of it. Let's bow and pray, may we? Lord, we thank you for the word. We thank you for the word in which Jesus was, the living word. And we thank you for the written word, which we can read and hold. And I pray, God, in the name of Jesus, that the words go forth would find that special lodging place in all of our hearts as we look to you to breathe life into these words. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, the telephone rang. I picked up the receiver. And my friend Dr. Noel Gilgze was on the other end of the line. And he said, Dr. Neil, let's go sailing tomorrow. I know nothing about sailing. And I said, I know nothing about sailing. And he said, well, come on, I'll teach you something. Let's go. Could you possibly go tomorrow morning? And I said, sure. Made arrangements. As I drove home for lunch, I said to myself, I know nothing about sailing. I open the front door. I go in and I tell my wife, Nancy, I'm going sailing tomorrow. And she says, Neil, you know nothing about sailing. And it's true, I knew nothing about it. But the next morning, found myself in Dr. Gilgze's 1957 Chrysler red and white convertible. And he patted the dashboard. This is about 1975 or 6. He patted the dashboard and he said, there's nothing like real chrome. New cars don't have real chrome. It's all plastic. And so he was just talking about how wonderful it was to be in a car with real chrome. Soon we got to Monterey. We fed the parking meter a real healthy breakfast. We walked out on the dock. As I walked down, I was wondering which vessel was going to be ours that I'm going to learn how to sail on. We finally get to the right one. Hop aboard, Neil. Then he says, I want you to remove the rope so we can be on our way. So I knew how to do that at least. We get out in the bay after our little horsepower motor got us far enough out. And it was a beautiful, lovely day like we like here on the Central Coast. Just beautiful. The wind was blowing one direction. And the thing that really confused me was I could see these other boats at different places and they were going different directions. But the wind was only going, say it, one direction. How can these things be? How can these things be? And so Noel tells me that it's all in the adjusting of the sail. Then I remembered about 30 years ago when we first made our trip to Morro Bay and Cayucas, I saw a postcard, and on the postcard it said, you can't change the wind, but you can adjust the sail. Say that, would you please? Thank you. So that made me think there must be something to this sail because the wind's going that way, boats are going the other way. And those of you who know anything about yachting know that the sail's got to be a triangle. You know that it's got to be curved so they can capture the wind. And yet the wind was going that way and the boat was going the opposite way. So if you turn in your bulletin to Acts 27:7, read with me if you will. Paul's writing. Together, we had several days of rough sailing, and after great difficulty, we finally neared Cnidus. But the wind was against us, so we sailed down to the leeward side of Crete, past the Cape of Salamis. Now, we pick up on those words, the wind was against us. Today I want to have you go through the streets of your mind and find out where the wind is really blowing against you, adverse situations, and the list is endless, persecution, family problems, marital situations, job, college, high school, sickness. The list is endless and endless. That's what we are actually faced with. We could call that's the wind against us. But the next scripture, which I'm going to listen to you read, tells you something that you are to do. Together, Psalm 56, 4. Okay, what is underscored there? Take the time to make eye contact with somebody. It's going to be very difficult. But make eye contact with somebody you did not come with right now. Would you do that? It's difficult. Eye contact with somebody you did not come with today. J.D., can't you find anybody? Okay. Okay, I want you to then, with your one eye, read this, and the other eye, look at them. That is very hard. But here's what you're saying to that person with whom you have eye contact. Together now, with that person. In God whom I trust, word I praise. In God I trust. In God I trust. I'll not be afraid. That's the bottom line. In God I trust, I will not be afraid. I will not be afraid regardless of what comes my way. Does anybody have a coin here? Like just a United States coin? In fact, here's what I want you to do. I want you to remember this sermon. Keep it. I want you to remember the sermon, and I know you're going to remember it because right now all of you are going to reach into your pocket or purse and pull out a coin. And would you help me do this? Would you just give it to somebody? And if you don't have a coin, lift your hand. We have an usher here who's going to give you a coin. Coin, thank you. Thanks. Lift your hand if you don't have a coin. Everybody over here have a coin? Would you please, young lady, pass these out to people here who don't have a coin? Pass them out. Because everybody's got to have a coin. You will remember this sermon. Everybody a coin. If not, lift your hand. Everybody's got to have a coin. The lady right behind here. The gentleman over here. That doesn't count. It's got to be a coin. Everybody, the gentleman over here, you have a coin? Now give your coin to somebody. Nobody's going to be broke by this. Give your coin to somebody. Everybody still has a coin, but not with the coin that you came in with. How many of you bought something last week? Lift your hand. If you actually bought something last week, lift your hand. Okay, now you can put your hands down, but answer this question. Was I lying when I gave that coin to the cashier? Because look at your coin right now. Every one of you have one phrase on all the coins. And what is that phrase? So, how many lying people are there in the world? And you're standing, I'm standing looking at you, and you're sitting looking at me, and I hate to call myself a liar, but it is true. I have great difficulty in trusting in God when these winds are blowing against me. To list a few: tribulation, famine, persecution, imprisonment, poverty, the loss, pain, affliction, suffering, distress. I'm also having trouble talking because medication does do that through your mouth. I want all the penny people to stand up. Everybody who has a penny, stand up. These are the penny people at the New York Church. Okay. Now, a spokesman for the penny people, tell me, where is In God We Trust located? And obviously, on the front. Whereabouts on the front? Somebody. On the top. You all agree with that who have pennies? In God we trust at the top. In relationship to the head, where is it? It's above the head. Thank you. Thank you. Academy Award for the people. Sit down. Thank you very much. Pennies very common. And we're talking about afflictions now, as you see in your bulletin. When the wind direction is upon us, upon you, from Satan. Read with me, if you will, the third scripture, Psalm 62:8. Would you read together? Trust in Him. Okay. Trust in Him at all times. When the wind is upon you, when it's upon your head. Now, the reason I say this, these afflictions come from, I'll use just the word affliction as a broad category. The reason I say that comes from Satan, because some of you do know that Satan is called what? The prince of the darkness air. Scripture that he is the prince of darkness too. Biblically, the prince of the air. He's the prince of the air. So I see he's trying to make this wind come down upon us on our head. And last Sunday when I was in church here, your pastor did an excellent job in telling you that Satan is real. That he's a thief, he's a liar, he's the father of lies. And so I just want to stretch that out just a little bit more to tell you that Satan's wind is telling you that you are no good. He's telling you that you are a failure. He's telling you things will never work out. And then the seven last words of the church, we never did it that way before. Satan is a thief and he's a liar and he's pushing these winds upon us. And what we have to do when it comes to us, this attack, is to, what does the coin say? In God we trust. In God I will trust. Because Satan, I know I can adjust myself when I'm under your attack. I know you're real. I know I need to counter your wind by adjusting my sail. And the way you adjust your sail is that phrase, in God I'm going to trust. Satan's got so many great tools that he works his plans out on us. I couldn't help thinking about it Friday and Saturday when there was this big garage sale in Cayucas. Everything was laid out. And the person there wanted to, of course, sell everything. And I remember this story where Satan was giving a garage sale and he was putting out all of his tools that he had to sell, tools that he used on people. And some of the tools were this: malice, hatred, jealousy, deceit. Several others had the prices all marked on them. But one was set aside with a very big price. And when asked, what is that tool and why is it so expensive? He replied, that is my tool of discouragement. If I can get people to be discouraged, then I have got a foot in the door. I can go right on in like a vacuum cleaner salesman, and I just can suck out all the inside that's good of that person. That's a great tool that he has. But since we know this, we have to counter that. We have to adjust that sail. Because Satan wants you to live in the darkness. But you know what, people? In that darkness, you can have a lot of light. During World War II, I'm told that in Germany they would put canaries in cages and they would cover the cage and they would put the cage in a dark room. Now, Satan wants you to be in darkness. But then they would have a small orchestra playing and the orchestra would play beautiful music. Now, unlike parrots, canaries don't copy, they improvise. And so they were creating something really good out of that dark experience because, wow, the covers come on me, what I'm going to do. And so people, when Satan comes to you this week and he covers you up with a lot of darkness, you say, I'm going to do what the penny people said this morning. I'm going to trust. I'm going to trust. I'm going to adjust my sail. I'm going to adjust my sail. Satan does not usually come to us the way we picture him. And of course, if he did, we all would just cross the street. But in the middle 70s, when God was speaking to me with spiritual dreams, Satan came to me in this dream, and it's so vivid, it's like I had it last night. Of course, we all dream every night, but they're not all spiritual dreams. This was a spiritual dream. Satan appeared to me in a red and white 55 Chevy convertible, which I used to court my wife in New Orleans. And in this car, he was there with this long, grotesque, yes, it was sort of greenish-yellow face. And here's what he said. "Neil, if you will stop preaching, I will then..." And it was sort of like what Satan did with Jesus on the Mount of Temptation. He went on further to say that if you'll stop preaching and taping and writing about lifting your hands in worship and beautiful heavenly language and prophecy, and if you just quit this whole church business, I will give you this, 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 and this. Now, I'm in my dream now. When you're in a dream, you can't really control what you say, can you? I was so grateful to God that I stood up and I said, "No way! No way! Get out of here!" And he took off, but he turned and he said, "I'll be back." And people, once we think we've captured the moment, he is going to come back. But we have to trust in God when Satan comes and just blows on top of our head. Any 5 cent people here? Stand up and be counted. 1, 2, 15, 20, 25. These are nickel people. Okay, a spokesman for the nickel people, tell me, where is that phrase? In relation to the head, where is the phrase? In front of the face. Thank you very much. Have you ever heard, said, or experienced somebody, "You're in my face"? He's in my face. He's in my face. Now, Satan works through people. He works through people. And when the wind is against you in your face, like the 5 cent piece, not as numerous as the 1 cent piece, afflictions from people, here's where we adjust our sails. People in themselves are generally what? They don't think or say good. They're not. None of you are. None of you are good. Jesus said, "I know your heart." He even called people, they were brood of snakes. He called them dogs. People are bad. They're really, really bad. We like to think the best of the people, but usually people are really bad. And when people get up against you and afflict you, Jesus said, "I know their heart." Well, even the best can come against us and make life really hard at work, at home, and at play. And a person can make life pretty miserable for you. This is when the wind is directly in your face, person to person, people to people. And that is when you must say, and you nickel people, what does it say on your coin? Trust in God. And it's very, very hard to trust in God. 1995, this storm hit Morro Bay in Cayucas. And what was it called? And it did a lot of damage, in particular to a guy who had a house in Morro Bay that he was renting. You have to pardon me. I can't tell you my aches and pains, but I can tell you that the medication is making it very difficult. Okay, this flood came through the house. I mean, I'm not kidding. It came through. We got videotape and we have pictures of the flood coming through this house. So I call FEMA and want my money from flood insurance, which I've been dearly paying for a very long time. And they said, "No, you don't qualify. The flood's not doing this. Did not do this to your house." And I said, "Well, why is it sinking?" And they said, "Subsidence is the problem." And so I went to a pastor's meeting one morning. I shared with them my problem. And they said, "Neil, what you need is to have somebody high up do something for you, because this, the people I was talking to were right in my face. They were not helping me with the insurance." So I get up really early in the morning to call New York Times, it's early for them, to speak to the lady. I said, let me talk to your supervisor. I got the supervisor and I wanted to speak to her supervisor. Well, nobody's ever done that before. And I got to another supervisor, and finally I got to, believe it or not, God graced me. I was trusting in God to get me through this, graced me to get to the high-level man. And he said, Neil, I've got a guy going to California next week, and I will make up him, I'll make sure he will make an appointment to see you in your house. So God just really graced me. The wind's blowing hard, but God, I'm going to trust in you. I'm going to trust the house is falling down. I'm going to trust you. I'm going to trust you. And sure enough, the guy came. He walked in the house. He was not in the house more than 20 seconds. And he said, no, I don't see any problem here. If you've got coverage, we'll pay you right away. And that really made me happy. But it did not satisfy me because the lady who was renting the house said, I'm going to sue you because some of my furniture got ruined. Now, God forbid she's with us this morning, but if she is, I forgive you. It did not work out, as you well know, in court. But it was a very bad scenario where a person was blowing wind right in my face. And I just had to trust. And when she called during the night, day and night, we would log when she said, what she said, and blah, blah, blah. And it turned out fine in my favor. But it's just an experience where my back was up against the wall. The wind from that person was blowing all. And believe that something good is going to happen. As a matter of fact, when I asked this gentleman who looked through the house, I asked him, how did I get you? And he said, well, Mr. Neil, I only go to people of notary, people who have names, and well, Hollywood people, and senators, and congressmen. I don't go, it's like you're the first one I've gone to. But he said, the boss told me to go see you. And I thought, wow, how cool. This was what the pastors had told me the day before. I need to get somebody to plead my case. Now, people, when you are where you are right now in that situation, the wind is blowing really hard against you. You need somebody to plead your case. Who would you go to? You would dial JESUS 24 hours, 7. And the Bible says, if you call upon me, I don't think he realized it was a phone, but when you call upon me, he said, I will answer. So when the wind's right in your face, what do? You trust in God. It's going to come from people. It's going to come from people who maliciously aligned people against him and actually got him put in prison. The wind was right in his face in the darkness of that prison. And do you know what he says? Don't be afraid. I am in the place of God. Do you intended me harm? But God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done. So when you are in a position where the wind is blowing against your face from a person, just trust in God. Believe God that you can lower your sail and let it just blow your way, but you're going to trust in God. That is such an easy word. Say trust. Ah, say it so easy. Say in God we trust. No, it really sounded like you meant it. In God we trust. What is... Oh, that's a lot better. That's a lot better. I could tell you what trust means, but I want you to see what trust is. Okay. And beside every one of these definitions that Webster gives us, there is a scriptural definition as well, which we won't take time to pull up. But what is the first definition of trust, somebody? Another definition, somebody? Another one? Another? Another one. And the last? To rely on the truthfulness. In the Bible, was Jesus truth? He was truth. And so when we're in these situations, we've got to trust when the wind and it is so easy to say it, it's so easy to read it, but it's indeed very hard to live it. Well, we have some other people left here. Does anybody have a 50-cent piece? Anybody have a 50-cent piece? You have a 50-cent piece? Amazing. Okay, how about a quarter? Stand up, if you will. The 50-cent person sees only one. Ta-da! Okay, the 25-cent people, stand up. Ooh, wow. And the dime people. Okay, what is on your coin? And where is it located? Under the chin, under the head. Thank you very much. Now, let me ask you this question. Let me be seated. Does anybody here know when In God We Trust actually appeared on a United States of America coin? No, the... you're talking about the motto. Yes, you are exactly right. The United States of America, and that's good, gave the motto as a motto of our country, believe it or not, in what year did you say? 1956. But when did the In God We Trust actually appear on a coin? Does anybody know that yet? You're actually right. The 2-cent piece in 1864. Very good. And then I think it was 1955 when it was going to appear on all the coins, but then the lady's right, 56, the motto. Is that the motto of America today? No. And we see these bumper stickers all over the town, God bless America. I was so happy to see one the other day who had reversed it. It said, America bless God. I thought that was really cool. America bless God. Okay, these people who have the 50-cent piece, the quarter, and the dime found that In God We Trust was under the head. Now, I don't know about you, but my heart is under my head. It's right here. The being, my real being, the guy you can't even see who lives in this earth suit, is in my heart. And sometimes the wind blows very hard in our heart. And I choose to believe, as you can see on the outline, that this is when the wind is from the direction of God. No. Somebody said, you believe God would blow adversity against me? Well, I'm afraid so, because the Bible does say if he loves somebody, he's going to chasten somebody. He's going to set some perimeters. He's going to discipline the people that he loves. So, God, I surely want you to, you must really love me, somebody would say, because I'm having all these problems. When the winds are coming to you from the inside, remember this. The turmoil, when it feels like a hurricane, and you ask why, and you ask what is happening, and you say, could this be from God? And the answer is yes. At that point, when these afflictions that could be clicking through your mind right now occur to you, you just lower the sail. You just lower that sail completely and realize that God is at work, and that wind that is within you is going to help you. I like Job 13:15. It says, though he slay me, I will trust in him. I will surely defend my way to his face. Though he slay me, I'm going to trust in him. I'm going to trust in him. So God is working something out in you. And the wind is very ferocious in many of us. But you know something? When God is doing that work, he's watching. I like that song, God is watching us. He is looking, he's watching us. And it's like the guy who is sitting beside the cauldron and the fire is making the metal really hot and he's watching it to make it just purified properly. And then he will scrape off the scum. He waits, and I'm told that he will wait. The heat will become just as intense as necessary until he sees himself in it. Is anybody clicking here? When God can see himself in and through us, that's enough here, but there'll be chapter 2, there'll be grade 3, and 4. We just keep on going, we keep on learning, because the whole purpose of our existence is to become more like God. And when you're going through difficult times, you can't see God. You wonder what is happening. Is it worth any of this? Remember this. The little guy is looking up at the sky because he's flying a kite. And as he flies the kite, he's really enjoying this. But as sometimes happens in Morro Bay, Los Osos, Cayucas, what comes in? The fog. And it was intense that time. In fact, it was so heavy and thick, and you know the proverbial say, you could, yeah. And so he can't see the kite. But this skeptic, and the world is full of skeptics, the skeptic walks by and he says, "What are you doing, guy?" And the little boy said, "Well, I'm flying a kite." "Sure. What are you doing?" "I'm flying a kite." And so he looks up there and he says, "I don't see a kite." "You're not flying a kite. Show me the kite." And so the little guy says, "I'm flying a kite, mister." He said, "Prove it. Prove you're flying a kite." And do you know what he said? He said, "Mister, I feel the tug." Say that. "I feel the tug." And people, if you in these winds of adversity will just quiet yourself and be still and know that I am God, as he says he is, you will feel that little tug in your heart and you will trust him through it all. And you could say, "You know what? God wants to play music through me. He wants me to be an instrument of his." And perhaps the best illustration of that is the guy who wants to make a handmade violin will not go in the middle of the forest where everything's safe and green and wheat. Where do you think he goes? You know where he goes, don't you? Outside of the forest, where the winds blow and the rain beats. And the tree is saying, "Oh, I can't take much more of this. Why am I even growing? What's my growth for anyway?" But you know what? That is where the violin maker gets his violin. Because that wood has stood the test. That wood knows the fiber of its being will produce the music from the master. And people, that's what God wants so much. He wants music to flow through you. He wants you to spin your coins and say, "Oh, God, I do trust you. I trust you. Oh, I can't understand. I don't even see you, but I feel that tug in my heart, and I will be what you want me to be. I know this adversary is attacking me, and through that, I am going to be made stronger because I'm going to be closer to you." I think it's interesting. Do we have a gold dollar here? Maybe we'll go all the way around. Any dollar? I didn't think you would have a dollar. Now I've lost my dollar. Is there a thief in the house? Anyway, in 1979, here it is. In 1979, the America made a coin, and it's a... Thank you very much. On every bill we spend, it's not on the face. Where is it? It's back. Now, I'm not saying that says anything. I'll get it back to you. But "In God We Trust" is on the back of the bill. On the coins that America put out that didn't work too good. You remember the dollar that looked like a quarter? You remember that? And there weren't too many in circulation for various reasons. And then after that, in 1979, what we thought was the gold dollar came out. And who knows the name of that, the Native American? Yes. I was looking at these two coins for fear that maybe one of you wealthy people carry around one of these coins. And I noticed that "In God We Trust" on the 1979 coin is in front of Susan P. Anthony. She's looking at "In God We Trust." I thought that was really cool. But then the dollars that came out in the year 2000, they put "In God We Trust" behind. Now, I'm not saying anything to that. I'm just saying it's interesting that in 1979, when you spent your coin, you were looking toward "In God We Trust." But in 2000, we're now turning our back to In God We Trust. Well, Jesus had the same problem that we have. You can see on the bulletin. Jesus had all three directions of wind. And these directions that we've looked at, the direction that comes upon us, it comes against us, it comes from within us. And Jesus had the very same problems that you did. He had the same problems that I have? Yes. Because he was divine human, divine first. He was human. And so he suffered the same kind of temptations that all of us have. And so let's take the three that we've looked at as human beings. Jesus suffered the same three too. Take first of all the wind on the head. We said that was from air. That was from whom? Satan. Okay, on the mount of temptation, he was faced with temptation from whom? Satan. It wasn't from people, it was from Satan. He also had the second direction of wind that we have, that's against people. He certainly had opposition from people, and he knew how to deal with that. And then he had the direction of wind from within, from God. And I say that because in the Garden of Gethsemane, what did he say? What did he pray? You know that. Well, this was the wind within him that was blowing just as fierce as it could possibly blow. But what did he do? He did just what you have on your coin. Say it. In God we trust. Psalm 37, 3 and 5 in your bulletin. Would you read that, please? On the inside. Okay, together. Trust in the Lord and do good. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in Him and He will do this. He will make your righteousness shine like the dawn, the justice of your cause like the noonday sun. This is what He's going to do if you just will trust in Him. And again, we know how easy it is. But this is where the rubber meets the road. It's where we are trusting as on the overlay. And then something happens, like as we read in Matthew 8. Remember the story? Read it. When he got... We, in our capacity, had no power to rebuke and stop the wind. But in the name of Jesus, when we are ministering to people, we can have that capability. In Jesus' name. And two interesting things here. The Bible says that there was a great wind and that there was a great calm. Now, since Paul in Ephesians 2:2 says that Satan is the prince of the air, Satan at that point had Jesus in the boat. He had the 12 preachers to the world in the boat. He could have, at that very moment, just liquidated them all. But Jesus, who has more power than any other person or any other one, was able to say, be still. And people, you can do that too. The child of the King, you can use the word, you can use the blood, you can use the name of Jesus. And you too will find victory. And your winds will calm. And you will find yourself really just trusting. Just trusting God. And people, that's the whole message today. I just want myself to listen to me, and I want you to listen to me. And I want you to listen to the person that you had eye contact with earlier. And just trust God more. And when things are falling apart, just trust God more. And when you can't see light at the end of the tunnel, just trust God more. And when things are going so bad you can't pay your bills on time, just trust Him more. Just trust Him more. When things aren't going good at the job, just please trust Him more. Just, well, you know the song, trust and obey. That's the whole bottom line. Don't you let in, let's bow and pray, may we? Father, we are faced, not daily, but we are faced hourly with the winds. And these winds are ferocious. The storms are hitting us. They are coming to us on our head, and they're coming to us at our face, and they're coming to us on the inside. But I pray that the Word will find its lodging place in our heart, and we will, as never before, trust in You. In Jesus' name, amen. After the song, a concluding word.
Let's stand together.